Welcome to This Team Is Killing Us, a podcast about what the Carolina Panthers do to good people. She is Lauren Brownlow. I'm Dimitri Ravanis. And Lauren, what is killing me today is an odd sense of optimism. I really kind of liked the Panthers draft. They did a few things that left me scratching my head.
Yeah, they did one that almost made me rage quit the whole draft.
Which one was that?
Was the trading back up after trading down?
To get Jonathan Brooks?
To get ACL.
Yeah.
But also you traded down and then you gave up more. No, don't give up anything.
It was strange because they went into this draft with 7 picks, right? And they end up making 7 picks. And by the way, pick up another second round pick for next year.
Which awesome. I loved. Okay, I will say that first the trade.
Yeah.
The trade up I liked. I liked the trade down, you know, to pick up stuff, but then immediately they didn't give away like half of it. And I'm like, why? Why?
It was so weird, right? Like day 1 and 2 of the draft, it was almost like Dan Morgan was challenged to take 3 picks, but not the 3 we are starting with because he was all over the place.
Right. No, for sure. But I was happy. I was still watching the draft when they did it. Not because I expected them to trade up, just because when we can get to it, what the Falcons did.
Yeah.
Because I was going to turn off the draft eventually. I'm like, I'll just turn it off. But no, after that, I was like, you know what? I'm in all night. Let's do this. Let's strap it in. Let's see what other crazy things that some teams can get up to. I'm here for it. And then they trade up. And I liked trading up to get a guy like that, even though people were like, well, he still would have been there. I was like, I don't know. Maybe not.
And are you talking about Xavier Legette?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. Either way, I liked it. They didn't. And the thing is, because they didn't give up really anything
right.
to do it. So I liked the aggression and I liked that they didn't get fleeced.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pick swap, basically, is what it turned into. I mean, I've been saying this on the podcast since we have been in draft mode. I love Xavier Legette. I think he is so talented. I don't know if he is going to attain like Steve Smith level of love because Smith also had the like underdog element. Like Xavier Legette looks like a physical specimen, right?
And the problem with him attaining Smitty level status is that he is like Randy Moss's accent put through several country filters.
Yes.
It's like almost like a photo filter, except with sound.
Right.
And you just keep filtering it. And you're like, wow, you filtered this through country so many times. I no longer understand any of it. It is one of the more country accents I have ever heard in my entire life.
Have you ever seen the original Kings of Comedy?
Yes.
Do you know in that movie, Cedric the Entertainer's bit about the old man that lives on every block and can fix everybody's cars?
I kind of remember.
And he talks with a cigarette. It is.
Oh, yeah. Like literally the first few words I can always get.
Yeah.
With Xavier. But then like as he continues to go, I'm like, what? it starts to sound like one long sound.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm like, what did he say?
There was a moment during that draft where they take Legette.
I love it.
Because I thought Legette and A.D. Mitchell both offered Bryce really good long-term targets. Mm-hmm. I still maintain what I said on one of the mock draft shows. I think Xavier Worthy was the best fit for Bryce, but I think A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Legette are both more talented. There was a moment with A.D. Mitchell falling that I thought, would I take both of them?
Was wondering that too. Yeah. I was wondering if they would take another receiver because they had chances.
Absolutely, they did.
And they thought, no, we're good now. And I thought, well, are they?
How do you feel about the skill positions right now? Considering Legette and Brooks, and then what they've already done with the receivers. And we got to throw, I guess, Jatavion Sanders in there as well.
Yeah, Sanders I liked a lot.
Me too.
That was one of my favorite picks that they made, actually, for the value and, you know, the talent level.
The first one they did not move off of. And you understood why when they made the pick.
100%. And I was pleased to see that one for sure, because they obviously need tight end skill help very much. So, I mean, I like it. I would have loved it if, and we'll get into it, there had been a little more O-line help to go along with them, because I feel like we've learned this throughout watching football our entire lives. We cannot... You could have all the skill players in the world. Look at the Bengals.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have no O-line.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't. I've been a little confused for sure with like the lack of emphasis on a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a concern for me, as if they think it's fixed. And I don't
know that I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also, like, to me, the bigger concern is center. And let's go ahead and talk about this because Dan Morgan talked about why they didn't take a center. And I don't know that I love the reason. He said that Austin Corbett and Brady Christensen are both training to make the move to center. They believe in those guys as blockers, and they believe that at least one of them is going to be ready.
So, on its face, I don't have a huge issue with that. However, the caliber of centers they gave up, that they didn't draft when they were available to them, that's the only thing that concerns me.
There were four centers in this draft that I got the impression could come in and start day one.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the Panthers, for a lot of offensive lines
that's
in the NFL.
That's what I was thinking. So it's like you have a problem solved right there, and then they don't want to solve it.
And there were times, like, you know, when they moved back up in the second round, I thought it had to be to get ahead of the Steelers to get Zach Frazier from West Virginia.
You know, and no offense to Brooks, who might be fine.
Yeah.
But probably drafting a likely disappointing running back instead of an offensive lineman was upsetting.
I think he can be really, really good. It's just, here's the thing. Here's why I would have
taken...
They said
needs work in pass blocking was one critique I saw. I said, oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Because they have plenty of that elsewhere.
I think that, forgive me, like you can hear in my voice, I'm struggling here a bit.
You're emotional.
Yes. I so wanted Trey Benson as a running back. I think that Benson obviously is going to start from day one for, I can't remember who it is that ended up drafting him. I think that Jonathan Brooks is better. It like has a higher ceiling, but coming off of an ACL.
Yeah, it's a concern.
To draft him in the second round, a guy that's not going to be able to help you for probably the first half of the season is strange.
Also maybe you never know until you can never know what's really going on in NFL draft rooms. Right. But it did feel like they didn't need to get him there.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to trade up for that, it's like, why was somebody going to get him?
Yeah. I also think if you're not dropping Chuba or Miles Sanders, and it doesn't seem like they are, hold out and get Audric Estime. That's a nasty runner back that can give you a couple of downs.
Yeah. I just didn't understand the need. So that was by far that one almost made me rage quit the draft entirely. I was very upset by that because I'm like, oh, you did a good. Oh no, you did a bad again.
Come like on. I said, I love the player. I just don't understand the position.
It's more the spot and the situation he's in and everything else. And the myriad needs that this team has that, I mean, I'm not saying they don't need a better running back. I'm not going to say that. I think you could argue they do, but I don't think that's an emergency need at all.
I think Steve Sarkisian has done a really good job of finding those old school kind of running backs at Texas. And I think Brooks is one of those guys. It's just, you're right. Like if you're talking about glaring need after you get wide receiver and you're in position to take Zach Frazier, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? And then by the way, at the beginning of day four, again, like Jatavion Sanders a lot, you're in position to take Cedric Van Pan Granger, and you don't. I just don't understand it.
Only one corner. It just was like, huh.
That was, you know, I'll get into this more a little bit later. All of the NC State fans chatter about you take a linebacker and it's not Peyton Wilson. I didn't understand why.
Well, he's not country enough, clearly.
No.
They're going for country, were they not?
They certainly are.
Because isn't he a hog farmer?
Yes, he is.
He and Xavier will have a lot to.
Well, you know what? I'll put my Peyton Wilson thing aside for just a minute. Just to wrap up the center conversation, they did sign Andrew Rame as an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you anything about him other than he is a 3-time All Big 12 center. He's coming out of Oklahoma, where until recently that has been the offensive line program in the NFL. So maybe they see it, but also
I don't hate that for sure.
No, I don't hate that they sign him, but my concern is we already believe that this is kind of a weaker overall draft class. I mean, how many times did you hear on the broadcast that once you get past about day four, you're already kind of wondering if the guys you take are going to make the roster?
Right.
If this guy couldn't get drafted in a weak draft class, I'm concerned about how much this actually brings in.
I'm curious, what the knock was.
On Rain?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to, I guess, learn more about that as we go.
For him to be at Oklahoma and do that,
yeah,
clearly there has to be like a huge issue.
Right.
Or there has to be something NFL teams are being stupid about. And it could be the latter, because Lord knows we've seen it before. So,
I mean, it feels good, I think, because I thought, and maybe I'm overreacting because of my feelings for Bryce Young, I do think this is one of the more important drafts the Panthers have ever had.
I agree.
Because I feel like if you didn't come out of this feeling good, there is no hope.
I feel okay. I'll say that. I feel like overall, I feel okay. They did some things I liked. They did some things I didn't like. I still have concerns in some areas.
Yeah.
That, and I'm almost more concerned that they don't seem to share my concerns. So, you know, that's a concern for me. Like
I've seen,
they're just good on left tackle now.
It seems like
I'm like, okay.
Like, here's what you could say about the Panthers that you can't about, say, the Falcons. They understood what the needs were for this year.
Yeah, they did, for the most part, except the running back thing, which was confusing.
Yeah.
The Falcons can't even let us be the most incompetent. Like, we can't even do being the worst right.
Right.
Because the Falcons are just always right there.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your thought with the Penix pick? Because I'll tell you this. I like Penix. I think he's a lot of fun to watch.
I love watching him. I love him.
I don't think he is built for the NFL. Like, I think the injury history is so insanely concerning.
Well,
combined with the fact that he's going to start the season at age 24.
And with the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
To me, that's the biggest issue right now. Like, I saw a lot of people being geeked and like, oh, cool. Like, and I, too, think it is great that he got drafted in a place where he has a chance to play. However, do we want that for him? I would say the same thing, by the way, about a quarterback that went to my team. If in the interest of fairness. So I'm not singling out the Falcons here, but Lord knows, like, that's where like promising young talent would go to perish.
Did you? So I think everybody by now has seen what has become sort of like the viral explanation of the pick, which is the Falcons believe they have a roster and they are going to be really good over the next 2 years, and it would be too expensive to trade up to get into range to take a quarterback of the future. And in 2 years after that, they can cut ties with Kirk Cousins and they've got their man of the future.
And they don't like the draft class next year for quarterbacks, and they really like Penix, all of which makes sense to me.
Yeah. And by the way, this is not a Falcons thing, just so everyone has context. Nobody likes the quarterback class coming in next year. It is the
all the quarterbacks next year. Hey,
yeah. Somewhere Shedeur Sanders is writing our name on his list of haters.
Oh, well, okay. Well, and then his offensive lineman will let us come in and unblock to sack him. I think for me, and maybe this is what that Netflix show did to my brain.
Yeah.
It had me feeling sorry for Kirk Cousins, which I did not know was possible. However, this isn't even the first time that's happened to Kirk, for what, and he made clear he didn't like it then.
Yeah.
And then they just go do it again to him, like playing in his face.
Yeah.
And you just gave him all of this money. Like, it's one thing if you like sign a quarterback and you got a decent deal on him, he's probably going to start, but he's not like making big, big, big money. He's making like enormous money.
Yeah.
And then you literally draft his replacement and you're like, oh, in 2 years, I guess we're done here. And it's like, I don't know, like on an interpersonal level, if that was a good idea. Just spitballing.
Okay, so I talked to a friend about this on Saturday, and we were just, you know, bullshitting about the draft, and he said something that I think makes sense. Not that this is what the Falcons were thinking, but this is how going forward they have to think.
Yeah.
What if year three of Kirk is actually the backup plan for Michael Penix? Because here was something that was put out.
Imagine being Kirk and hearing, like, essentially, though, that's what he would have to assume.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, really?
Yeah. The model in the NFL to build a team that wins a lot now is quarterback on a rookie contract, right?
Yeah.
And that gives you money to spread around to real playmakers.
Yes.
Like, look at what the Dolphins did with all the receivers they brought in for Tua Tagovailoa a couple years ago. The thing about after 2 years, and the idea if we move on from Kirk Cousins, yes, all the guaranteed money is done after 2 years, but Mina Kimes pointed this out on ESPN. If they cut him after year two, that's still a $25 million cap hit.
Oh.
Which erases the advantage of a quarterback on a rookie deal.
Do you think the Falcons heard that and go, and someone was like, shit. And they were like, really? Is that true? And they're like looking it up and they're like, oh, shit.
This is not a comment on, I can't remember the guy's first name, but the Falcons GM Fontenot or Arthur Blank or anybody else. It is simply a case of like Falcons being Falcons. Like there had to be part of them that thought, oh, maybe they'll forget about it by then. Maybe the NFL will forget about it by then. It will be cool.
Maybe there's a something in the fine print that we can get our way out of.
Take the time to like and subscribe to the show. Leave a comment, not only on YouTube, but wherever you're getting the podcast as well. It helps more Panthers fans find our content online, brings more listeners to the show, and we get to keep doing episodes. So please like, subscribe, and leave a comment, not just a star review. And then also, I do want to remind you, we are doing the first annual podcast, Sports Podcast Festival, coming to the Rialto in August. Tickets on sale in May right now, whether it is on Twitter or whether it is on Instagram, follow at Sports Pod Fest. That is where you will get all the updates.
I was going to say the Falcons, like on a day where the owner of our team had a Karen episode
in public,
we couldn't even be the most embarrassing franchise in our own division. Give us a day, Atlanta. Like, why can't we have a day to be the most embarrassing?
Dave Tepper, he has to be stopped, right? Like, I know it's impossible,
but it's bringing me so much joy.
All right. For people that have not seen or heard the story, let's first lay out the story. There was a restaurant in Charlotte.
Dilworth something.
Yeah. Dilworth. Was it Draft House maybe?
Or Grill? I don't know. Hold on.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
Because they, you know what? You know why I will? Because good for you.
Yes. They had a sign, and this is one of those establishments that puts funny sandwich boards out front of their shop. And on draft day, it said, please let the GM and coach make the pick.
It's Dilworth Neighborhood Grill.
Dilworth Neighborhood Grill. So driving past Dilworth Neighborhood Grill that day was Panthers owner Dave Tepper, who you may recall is largely believed to have put his finger on the scale to pick Bryce Young instead of CJ Stroud with the number one pick last year, right?
Yes, so because vibes.
Because vibes, sure. So he stops into Dilworth Neighborhood Grill, not to be part of the neighborhood, not to enjoy something delicious from the grill, but to fight.
Well,
to fight. No, I don't care how like jovially he walked in there.
We agree on that, but I don't think like he doesn't have fighting in him anyway.
Oh, I don't think he knows he doesn't have fighting in him. Mm. I'm confident he believes he could take anybody.
I will say his energy in the video was more peaceful than I had assumed, yes, except for one part of that video.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But to me, and this is the way I read it, because you're right, I thought it was on the surface more peaceful. I thought he was wishing a motherfucker would.
Right, which like he's essentially talking to the hostess, and I don't know if that was the owner.
Turns out to be the manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the manager.
And as he walks into the grill, he asked to speak to the manager. By the way, he walked into the establishment with his muscle, who appeared to be 70 years old.
Yeah, that was strange. I was like, what is that? Is that just like someone he pays to be his friend? Is it his driver?
I mean,
maybe a driver.
I guess
somebody that rich doesn't drive themselves.
But like he walked in as like Dave Tepper strikes me as a guy that looks at whoever that guy was.
Do you think he parked illegally out front?
Of course he did.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course he did.
I'm just setting the scene for myself.
He just assumes, well, Jerry is tall. He must be scary to people. And Jerry goes with him wherever he goes. Because Jerry or whoever it is, is tall.
Yes.
But that's it.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, I don't understand.
He's also balding and has like the classic uncle mustache. Yeah. All right. So he goes in, he talks to the manager, and he begins the conversation by removing the manager's hat from his head.
Listen, and it was for context, it was a Philadelphia Eagles hat.
But and also for context, it should be said he took the hat off the young man's head. He didn't like flip it off. But nonetheless.
And yeah, I was like, because that has been done to me.
Uh huh.
even in a joking manner.
Sure.
I still did not care for it.
Sure.
And I was still like, please don't touch me.
Anything like, involving your head feels very condescending, right?
Like, yeah. Like, get that hat off. And then takes it off.
Bald
like,
man.
I have a hair problem underneath here that I'm hiding today. I didn't need you to take my hat off.
Yeah.
Also, don't touch me.
I'm not self-conscious about being bald at all. But as a fat bald, I am obviously like what any mascot is looking for in someone to interact with. Right.
Right.
And there is nothing more. I don't mind the tummy being rubbed. But when we start doing polishing the head.
Oh,
there's something about someone touching your head in any form or fashion that feels incredibly condescending.
Okay. Yeah. You guys, you should have gotten to carry babies instead because you would have loved that. Whereas every pregnant woman knows exactly what I'm talking about, where everyone's like, can I touch? I'm like, you wouldn't say this to any other person.
That's strange.
No, you can't touch.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
I do love a baby.
Well, who doesn't? But don't touch me. I don't want to be touched.
I hear you. I hope when you were pregnant, I'd ever ask to touch your belly.
No, of course not. Good. No, you were wonderful.
I feel like a good person, but I'm not positive.
you were both wonderful during my pregnancy. But yeah, no, it was very like the vibe was better than I thought when I first saw the tweet about it.
Yeah.
Which I remember this poor guy kept being questions. He's like, I'm not a reporter. I just am telling y'all what I saw. Like, so you can believe whatever you want. I'm just saying what I saw. Like, you know how Twitter is now. Pixar didn't have it. Right. He's like, I'm just telling you what I saw. Like, I didn't take a video of it. I don't have a camera. Like, please leave me alone.
I want to put up a tweet on the screen from our friend Josh Graham. And it includes the video of exactly what happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Josh is commenting on the video, not the story that came out first. And he says,
okay,
how many NFL owners is this even a headline for? Especially when he's obviously being playful about it. It's just another example of how Tepper isn't given the benefit of the doubt. And to be fair, he hasn't earned that.
Well, you kind of buried the lead then.
Right.
You kind of like canceled out the first part of the sentence.
Listen, I like Josh just fine. I've got no beef with Josh. We pull a lot of his tweets for the show because he is there every Sunday watching the Panthers. I think he's a reliable narrator.
And if you have a billionaire that you need caped for... Clearly, he's your man.
This is the thing. Josh, as your friend, the taste of boot is not always something you have to enjoy. I don't understand
this.
Hope
he sees this.
I don't
hope
understand.
Hope he sees this, bro.
I don't understand anybody's belief that any billionaire that did this would not be clowned. Over and over and over again.
Listen,
this is our only place of power over them.
He could come in there and do a whole SNL bit. The fact that he pulled over and went in there and had that reaction and it reportedly said, who would you like to make the pick? to which I responded immediately, tap sign, literally, taps the sign. That's who they would like to make pick. Like the fact that he saw that, literally, nowhere on it does it mention him at all.
Yeah.
Even. It's just saying we would prefer these dudes who it's their literal job to make these picks to do that. And he, for some reason, thought it was some sort of and he clearly thought it was a shot at him.
Yeah.
Was it a little bit of a shot at him? Sure. But why should he take it as that if he is indeed going to let those men that he paid to make those decisions then go on to make those decisions? Like, what? Bro, let your football men make football choices, okay?
Our buddy Bomani was with me last year on the midweek talk through, and he made a point about Tepper that this was not like specifically about Tepper. This is just about that type of guy.
He's mad. He got mad. He got offended. He got his fifis hurt. And it's very funny. We're allowed to think it's very funny. No one is saying he needs to be like canceled or anything over this. We are all laughing at the fact that his skin is so thin. That's the joke, right?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
This was Bomani's point, and this is like a really good point and tells you a lot about what it is we are laughing at. This is a dude that got booed on the field while they were giving Sam Mills' widow his Hall of Fame ring, and it was more important to the fans to boo Dave Tepper than cheer for a dead man, a franchise legend.
A hero
arguably
in that fan base.
100%. The franchise legend.
Yes.
Right?
A big part. Like, what identity this franchise has left is built around Sam.
Yes. And Bomani's point was, if that does not cause you to change your behavior or reflect on what it is people think about you, Dave Tepper must have walked off that field and thought, man, they really hate Sam Mills.
Yeah, that, or he just is like these ignorant Southern hillbillies that, you know, he just has to keep bringing. Just, you know what, Dave, just keep bringing us education in the form of music that we've never heard, that sweet, sweet music. You bring dance here. It was illegal before.
It's true. You know, John Lithgow used to be very cross with
bring
us
almost practice facilities. Unfinished practice facilities.
Well, hey, he said he's bringing good things to Charlotte, not Rock Hill. That's their problem.
Good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just very, I think like what everyone needs to understand is no one's like mad at David Tepper about this. We are all getting a lot of joy about it because it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
I will say.
And it would be a story with anyone because it should, like, why are you so thin? Like, you're a billionaire, bro. Go home to your billionaire lifestyle where you could just buy and do literally almost anything you want.
If he had walked in.
Why do you care what this son says?
I was about to say, if he had walked in and literally dropped, you know, $50,000 on the hostess stand and taken the sign, the sandwich board
that
with
him. That would be boss.
It would have been less offensive than taking off a man's hat.
I would actually be impressed.
This is, all right, so this is.
I would be impressed at that one.
This is the last thing that I'll say about it. I think any of us that have ever worked in the service industry understand disrespect.
The way I was wincing for that host, like for the hostess, I'm like, please God,
okay,
what is he going to say to her?
Here's the other bend I'll put on. Those of us that have worked in the service industry at a place that routinely serves Dave Tepper types really know the skin crawl of that poor manager could not do anything about his hat. That is why Dave Tepper's ass was not stuffed into the trunk, regardless of what his tall muscle planned to do about it.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because they have no reason to care like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And yet they seemingly care more.
Yeah.
You can't pay enough to make people like you. That's what these people need to learn. You can't buy friends.
That's right.
You just can't. You can't make us like you. They booed him. Bomani's right. They booed him with the lusty energy of the Detroit Lions fans. My hero. I love you people.
Yeah.
I love you so much. The way they booed, the way Roger Goodell thought coming out there with Eminem and whatever that god awful video, I felt like I was having a fever dream watching
every single member of the Lions had to say, let's go Detroit,
and they
into the microphone.
He thought, oh, I'll bring Barry Sanders, I'll bring Calvin Johnson. Didn't matter. Every time he was on, he got booed so hard.
Oh,
and
God.
I loved it so much.
By the way, are we done with Eminem now? Like, I mean, at this point, he's your dad's favorite rapper. There is nothing, nobody under the age of 40 is interested in Eminem. Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, I never really was that interested in the first place. So I'm the wrong person to
ask. Tweeted this, like, I have to come clean. Like, I'm not even but he's got that one song guy. No, I think Eminem fucking sucks. I think he's terrible. But that being said, his staying power flummoxes me.
Well, I mean, it's not like that much. Like, what new music has he made?
No, that's what I mean. Like, he hasn't made new music. He's not we're not making new Eminem fans.
The staying power is the memes.
I guess.
Like the you know, the 8 Mile memes. Sure. And then, of course, the broadcast.
The college football broadcast booth. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe he wanted to make this into a meme, which he was far too like lucid to do this time.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he is.
We need him staring blankly into space.
He is very much settling into elder millennial dad mode.
Yeah, he was like a normal person. What's the fun in that?
Right. Now he looks like he owns a mason jar store.
Right. But you don't think, like, Roger Goodell, he's at least acting like he likes the booze now.
Right.
That's what David Tepper has to learn.
Well, if you watch the draft, he clearly likes the booze.
Oh, you think so? Oh.
Could you not tell by the time he was trying to pronounce Xavier Leggett's name?
Oh, my God. Can he read?
I don't think he can.
Well, I've told you I thought he was AI for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I could believe that.
Like, he just, there's something human-ish about him.
Yeah.
But not human enough.
Yes.
In the way he interacts with people, the way he talks, I'm just like, I don't know about...
You're
a computer.
Like, early days AI, like Steven Spielberg's movie AI.
All those owners could put their money together and make a Roger Goodell. Don't think we don't know that. Don't think we don't know what you're up to.
The only thing that would make me go, like, you can't fool us NFL, if it's instead of Goodell, it was Goodman. Like, that would be the only thing that would make me go, okay, this is not a human being. Roger Goodman? No, thank you.
Well, maybe they just thought, oh, we'll throw them off a little bit by making it almost like that, but not quite. We'll make up a whole backstory for him. People will claim he's real.
That's right.
He's not real.
That's right. Nobody works for the Jets. And yet somehow everybody works for the Jets. But just real quick, Josh Graham, I'm sorry you caught a stray. You're a perfectly fine young man. Your opinion is garbage. All right. Now, let's close this out by circling this to NC State fans. Because I told you I didn't understand the clamoring for Peyton Wilson. I get you want one of your own. But if you also care about the Panthers.
And a very beloved one.
Sure. If you also care about the Panthers, why is it not just stop it? What are we doing taking a linebacker? No matter who they're taking there, it makes no sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, now, if you want to say, hey, they took a linebacker, so why wouldn't you take this guy who's like the most beloved, you know, whatever. Okay. That, you know, I get that. But also with the amount of people that I saw saying I'm a Steelers fan now, I think some of them you could argue don't really care about the Panthers that much.
That's the thing.
In the first place.
So. I think I overestimate the amount of people that care about the Panthers the way you do.
I will say this. I think State fans have a limited capacity in their hearts for watching teams that bring them pain. Sure. And I don't blame them at all for that. I do not begrudge them that.
They like, get a steady supply of that in their life.
So they kind of like latched on to the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, which I hated because I hated the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't like that. And I would make fun of it. But like, I can't. Why would you want to stay loyal to the Panthers right now if you felt like you had options? And if all of your energy is you supporting the team like the Panther or like NC State that has brought you pain in the past, why would you want that to continue on Sunday? It's just a lot to ask in a weekend of people. It really is.
The other part, too. Peyton Wilson, as we learned during the draft, like for sure, he has no ACL in one of his knees. Like, did State fans know this? Did ACC football fans know this?
I don't know.
Because if you did, shame on you for wanting that for the Panthers.
Well, I mean, the Panthers clearly don't mind. Do they? Like, why are we acting like they care about such things?
Yeah, fair.
So that's the other thing. So they drafted a guy with that kind of history and they drafted a linebacker. So like, you can't argue that those are things that they care about all that much.
I guess the only other thing to say then is
he did all that with no ACL. That's actually more impressive.
I'm very impressed by him. It's just very similar to Michael Penix. You know, I mean, enjoy retirement at 26, which is fine. Like, you made it to the NFL. That's amazing. I just don't trust you're going to hold up.
Yeah, no, I know. And you know, I'm not here, though, for the obnoxious influx of Steelers fans into my life. Or Patriots fans, UNC people. We're not doing...
Oh, sure. I didn't think about that.
You can root for your guy without acting like you're rooting for the whole team. That's all I'm saying. You can still root for your player that you love.
Lauren, some of us have made a whole podcast out of that.